Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Keith, you ready for a franchise quarterback?
Oh, I was born ready, Jones. Born ready.
It kind of feels like that's what happened yesterday.
Kind of does.
Can't say much for the team.
No, how'd the team look?
I don't want to get too excited over a 20-point loss. I don't know how good I'm allowed to feel about a 20-point loss.
Wait, they lost? Hold on. They did?
It was close.
They threw the ball down the field, though, Jones. It's baby steps, right? It's baby steps in many ways.
Yes.
And this is one of the worst teams in the NFL in 2024. There's no getting around that.
No.
There's a lot of ways we can kind of peel this banana, if you will. It's a bad squad. But they threw the ball down the field. They threw the ball into the end zone. They threw more touchdown passes yesterday than the first 5 weeks combined. So I choose to look at this very positively. I know there's a lot to, like I said, rip apart and maybe more problems than we even realized with the team overall. But, I mean, starting with the quarterback, I view this very much as a positive.
Okay, no doubt. And look, it wasn't all good for him either. It was a mixed bag.
Of course not.
Good, bad, ugly, as you put it, from Drake May. We'll get into it here today on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Phone line's open for you at 617-779-7937. So call us all day long there. You can text at 37937. Lots of ways to interact with the show on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. And I will let you know.
Yes.
The Bruins play today, Keefe.
Is that right?
Yeah, that means there's only one spot in the city all day long to talk Drake May.
Oh, we're here.
That would be here on Jones and Keefe throughout the day on WEEI. There's only one spot to do it. So we'll do it all day long here today. As I said, I don't want to get too excited about a 20-point non-competitive loss because they got their asses kicked yesterday.
Sure did.
But for the first time, definitely since Mac Jones's rookie year, and for the first time maybe since Tom Brady walked out the door, you feel like you might have something at quarterback. You feel like there's hope. There's a real player there, the potential of having that franchise quarterback that you haven't had since Brady left. Maybe you felt that way about Mac his rookie year. I was more of a Mac holdout, but I would get if you lost yourself a little bit that rookie year with the team playing well and Mac looking good so early. I would get it. At least since then, definitely since Brady walked out the door, it's the first time you look at it and go, they have something, and they may have one of those guys who can be a difference maker in the league. It's the first time you even let your mind go there.
Yeah, because he is that modern quarterback. He's the guy that can scoot a little bit, right? Brady was maybe one of the last of that style that could really work in the league, where he's great, unbelievable pocket presence, doesn't take a lot of sacks, but he's not going to pick up too many third and sevens with his legs, right? He's not going to be able to ad-lib that way. And so are you going to find a guy that is that kind of athlete playing quarterback? And that's why I was with you. Like, I was never a Mac Jones, like, oh, he is going to be the answer guy. But that first year, I can't ignore the fact that they were pretty good. They were, what were they, 8-2, whatever their record was. You're like, huh, maybe they got something. Now, he's the guy, at least back then, that needed so much around him in order for him to look right. Whereas I think with Drake May, you can already see it. That offensive line, insane. Like, the combination, the guys that they have playing, and where they found them, who they even are.
No, I've legit lost track.
Like,
I've lost track of who is even on the offensive line anymore. I legitimately
no names.
Haven't heard of some of these guys.
Correct. They weren't even on the team like a week ago. Now they're starting.
Zach Thomas?
the other Zach Thomas, the other Michael Jordan, a guy named Ben Brown. Like, who are these guys?
Like, legitimately, who are they? Yeah. I've lost track of what's going on the offensive
line. So they've had six different starting combinations in six games. That ties a record.
Yep.
Also, they're just, it's every week there's somebody new either getting hurt or coming off the injured list or whatever it is. So that part of it is a mess. So at times, you're going to be running for your life, or at times, you're going to get hit before you even, you know, have a grip on the ball. So there's a lot that he's going up against. You mentioned with Drake May, I mean, good, bad, ugly, it was all on display. You know, I'm not surprised at all that he threw a pick early. I'm sure the guy was so hyped up to be playing in the NFL. I think as fans, we kind of take it for granted. You're like, that's an NFL game. These are great players. Just go out there and play. But it's his first NFL game, his first NFL start, I should say. And yeah, he's all jazzed up. He throws the pick. I think it kind of settled him down a little bit. After he took a couple of hits, that also might have settled him down a little bit. But you can see the athleticism, and you see some of the plays he's able to keep alive that Jacoby Brissett and other quarterbacks around the league wouldn't be able to do. And so you see that flash. You at least see that reason for, oh, that's why he was the number three pick in the draft. That's why there was a lot of hype about him. That's why he could be your starting quarterback for 10-plus years. It doesn't mean he can take this group of linemen, this group of receivers, maybe this play caller, and turn him into a Super Bowl contender. But you're like, that guy individually is a good player. And if you can get some stuff around him, then you might be cooking with gas.
And didn't he elevate what was around him?
I would ask Pop Douglas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, like, ask Pop Douglas. Ask Kayshon Booty. You know, if Jalen Polk's hands worked.
I don't want to. Jalen Polk is scaring me.
It's scaring me, too. And we'll get to the Patriots wide receivers coming up.
Yeah.
But, like, he elevated those guys. It's the worst offensive line. That's the worst batch of offensive linemen I would imagine that has been on an NFL field in a long time.
It is wild to see. I mean, it's like the fourth string guys at, like, almost every spot.
They didn't have Ramondre Stevenson.
No, that was a killer, and you could see right away how bad that was.
Okay, but all those things, they terrible receivers who he elevated. This patchwork offensive line of guys I've lost track of and never heard of and never want to hear from again. Ramondre Stevenson wasn't out there. Antonio Gibson couldn't run unless it was up the backside of his own offensive lineman.
Oh, my God.
And they had their best day throwing the ball of the year. Their best day throwing the ball in God knows how long. It's their first three-touchdown game from a quarterback since Bailey Zappe last year against Pittsburgh. I believe off the top of my head, I meant to fact-check this, I believe Mac Jones threw three in the opener last year against Philly. So they had two of those games all year last year.
Yeah.
They were brutal offensively all year last year. They were brutal the first 5 weeks this year with Jacoby Brissett. They were brutal the Patricia Judge year. They were brutal at the end of Max. It's been a long time.
Oh, sure has.
Since you can feel that good about the quarterback's individual play. And I think it was Hart who said this on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
What do you want out of his start? You want some of those moments where you go, I see it. I see what he can be. It wasn't all good. The pick was terrible. He was jacked up and sailed the football.
Yep.
The second pick, I don't fully absolve him. I know that was a design screen. The lineman's supposed to get out and cut down the defensive lineman.
Yeah, that was kind of a
mess. It was a brilliant play by the defender, but, like, still, he's got to know where the pressure's coming on the fumble. Exactly.
Yep, yep,
so,
yep.
Like, he didn't have a perfect day by any means, not even close. There was that one play where he kind of tried to scramble and jumped in the air and threw and almost got himself killed.
He got hit a few times pretty hard.
So, like, it wasn't perfect.
Well, no.
But I saw flashes and I saw plays where I go, okay, this is his first start against a great defense on the other side that people were afraid was going to break him. And it came pretty close on the strip set.
They stuffed him a couple times.
But I saw those plays and I saw those moments. You need more of them. You need to drop down on some of the mistakes. But it was his first game, and I feel real good about it.
Yeah, I choose to be very positive about the start. So the team has played six games. That was the best defense they played against all year. The Jacoby Brissett never threw for more than 168 in a game, passing yards. Obviously never threw two touchdowns in a game. He only threw two touchdowns all season. Drake May goes for 243 and three touchdowns. Does not have Ramondre Stevenson, who many would argue is the best individual offensive player on the team. He, going back to the one win they had, he had, 116 yards after contact, Ramondre did?
Yeah, and that, Cincinnati, yeah.
You're going to need to do that because his offensive line is a mess. Even the best version of the offensive line is a mess. So if you, like, yesterday was a good example where every time Gibson got hit behind the line or at the line, I feel like he went down. Because that's not really his game. Like, he's not a between-the-tackles guy who's a college receiver, for God's sakes. He's more of a third-down, change-of-pace back. I like Gibson. I just think that's not the role for Gibson. So Drake May doesn't even have that. He doesn't have, hey, it's second and five because Ramondre just picked up five. It's like, no, it's second and 10. Yeah, it's second and 11. Like, yeah, what do you got up your sleeve? And I think he was able to highlight what he can do well, plenty of room for improvement. I mean, it's the guy's first start ever. I don't think anybody thought there's going to be the perfect game. The one little bit of fear that you had, especially after the first series, first quarter, really, is this isn't going to be like a Nathan Peterman game. This isn't going to be one of those, like, we can't even defend it type of games.
There was a point where...
there's a minute where you're thinking that. You're like,
threw
no.
the first pick, and every time you kind of drop back to throw, you're like...
well, his first pass attempt went into, like, the third row.
He threw it like, way out of bounds.
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
And you know me, like, I'm going to give the guy a long leash. I'm going to defend him. I'm going to make all these excuses for him. But if you end the game 0 touchdowns, 4 picks, it's hard to come in here and be like, guys, hey, hang with him.
Yeah.
Hang with him. So it was a little touch and go there in the first quarter. But then that touchdown pass to Booty at the end of the first half, like, what a sigh of relief. Ooh. And, like, not that you thought you were going to win the game or anything, but it was a little bit closer than maybe probably it should have been.
But that was that made it 14-7. The Patriots are getting the ball to start the second half. That's when he got strip
sacked.
Double score. And, like, the game went away real quick. But,
double score.
Okay, but to me, that was the best moment of the game, not just the throw itself.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that throw was spectacular. And I think they've had 3 touchdowns since Tom Brady left, air yards over 35. Okay, air yards, not just 35-yard touchdown.
No, not like a catch
throws
and a scoot.
In the air.
Yeah.
Cam had 1. Mac had 1 the whole time he was the starter.
Sounds about right. Seems high.
And Drake May had 1 yesterday in his first half.
That's great.
So that was a great moment. I love the 2-minute drill, too. Like,
I was like, are they going to go for this?
Because
they've been really bad at end of halves.
They took their time to start that drive, but they wound up getting into gear. I think that was the best moment of the game, not just the throw, that whole drive. It's like they couldn't get the 2-minute drive to work against Seattle week 2. They couldn't get it to work against Miami last week. And then yesterday, the kid goes out and executes in his first start when Jacoby Brissett, who's been in the league going on a decade, couldn't do that multiple times this year. That was the best part, I thought.
Yeah, no, that definitely was. And it gave, I think, the whole – I mean, and, you know, the fact that it was a home game, like, all of a sudden there was life. There was life in the stadium, and it was sort of like for the here and now, but really more so for the future, too. It just seeing what he's capable of, also connecting with a young receiver, a guy that could be good, but we didn't know. Like, you wouldn't know. Like, Kayshon Booty, the last 2 years with these quarterbacks, you're like – I don't know. Is he going to get an opportunity? Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, Jacoby Brissett. That's hard for a guy breaking into the league that's not, you know, Malik Nabers level talent in order to have, like, a lot of success. And so he makes that play. Pop Douglas makes a bunch of plays. And you're like, we wondered how are the players going to respond to the change at quarterback? I would say pretty well.
Yeah.
I would say those guys are pretty happy about it.
We're going to talk to a couple of them today. We're scheduled to talk to Kendrick Bourne for the first time this year. And he was very complimentary to Mike Reese. I was reading some of his comments about Drake May. In some ways, compared him to Patrick Mahomes.
Hello.
Talked about his toughness. Talked about some of the other issues they've had offensively before he got in there. So we'll get to Kendrick Bourne about that. We're going to be joined by Hunter Henry as well on a Patriots Monday here on WEEI.
He got in the end zone. Nice touchdown for Hunter.
He did. He had, after, I think, the Booty touchdown, he also had the best play.
Yeah.
From Drake May, where May is rolling right, throwing across his body left,
that
and Hunter
nice.
Henry goes for, you know, 30 yards or whatever it was the other way. So we'll talk to both of them here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI. Patriots lost, if you can't tell, 41-21 yesterday. Drake May individually wasn't perfect, but I thought was impressive. And at bare minimum, we should all be able to agree, showed flashes and elite traits that you want to see for a franchise quarterback. They did lose by 20, though, Keith. And so when it comes to other game thoughts, beyond just Drake May, and we'll take your Drake May thoughts all day long, you do look at it and go, What else do they have besides the hope of a franchise quarterback? They don't have an offensive line. The skill players look better with Drake May, but I still don't think they're very good. Their defense just got shredded yesterday. More penalties, which goes back to Jerod Mayo and his coaching staff. And I know the Texans are really good, but the Texans have been in close games with the Colts,
everybody,
and the Jaguars, and these bum-ass teams. And you let them just walk all over you. Another team, just like Miami last week, ran for almost 200 yards against you. I think Miami was 193. They were 192, or maybe I have that backwards. But they ran all over you when they had to. They marched right down the field. They did have short fields throughout the day. Some of that's on Drake May. A lot of that is on Drake May, if you want to be honest. But maybe the worst part about it is they lose by 20 and I feel kind of good about it.
Yeah.
That's the sign where the season is over and they're so awful. The only thing they have is the potential of a franchise QB.
But at least they have that right now.
Yeah.
For the first 5 weeks, they didn't even have that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, at 1-5, they're obviously terrible. And they're one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the league. But what really did surprise me is just how bad the defense is. Like that, you thought, remember, like wishful thinking, could they be top five? Could they be top 10? They got to be top half. And after the first week, and I know that probably said more about the Bengals than anything else, but they were really good at tackling. They were like getting off the field. You're like, oh, this is a pretty good, this is going to be a hard team to face.
Yep.
Right? You had good pass rush from Keon White. You have a good corner in Gonzalez. You had the good safeties. Now, I know they're not all out there right now. Juwan Bentley gets hurt. You knew that was going to be a loss. I didn't think it was going to be as big of a loss as it's been. But they couldn't tackle. They gave up 250-plus yard runs yesterday. So those obviously skew things, but they allowed 192 rushing yards, 6.9 yards a carry. Mixon and Pierce each ran one in. The Houston Texans have CJ Stroud. They have Steph Diggs. But they hadn't scored 30 points in a game all season. So it's not the greatest show on turf, at least yet. They haven't really been able to unlock it yet. No Nico Collins. And they put up a smooth 41 on you. And I think the defense is surprisingly bad. Missed tackles, easy conversions for the offense. Like that really is what I was trying to celebrate when Drake May was out there and Drake May's offense, like what he can do. And then you get the ball back and like, oh my God, they're just going to go down the field and score again. These guys, the defense stinks all of a sudden.
So the roster is a big problem. And like, I think we got some of this today from Jerod Mayo in his weekly appearance on the Greg Hill Show. Like, there may be some friction between Mayo and Elliott Wolf when it comes to the roster. And the roster is obviously a huge issue. I think we can all see that. I don't think anybody's going to debate that. So let's just put that to the side for a minute. The roster.
Yep.
The coaching has been atrocious.
Yeah, a lot of penalties.
That's Jerod Mayo, who's the head coach. He oversees all of it. The one I think who's getting the brunt of it, probably deservedly so, is Alex Van Pelt. Like, that first drive yesterday was the most unimaginative thing I've ever seen.
You didn't like that?
I question the logic of deferring to the second half in Drake May's first start. The crowd was ready to go. The crowd was amped up and excited, and, like, it just represents how not aggressive they were yesterday.
That's an odd question.
They said, I'm sorry, Alex, they said, we'll defer. We'll let Houston march it right down our throats. We're going to start our kid in a 7-0 hole, and you know what we're going to do? Run, throw it 15 yards out of bounds.
Yeah, it was 14-0 before Drake May threw a second pass. Like, that's how, I mean, the game was like, it felt like it was over.
Out of hand.
Like, the Texans kind of stalled. The Patriots hit that long touchdown at the end of the first half. So it was 14-7. So the scoreboard was closer than what it felt like. But yeah, like before you could even get comfortable, before you even like cracked your beer, it was 14-0 Texans. You're like, well, all right, this team looks like they're in a different level. There are several tiers above the Patriots, which what we know.
But so to me, we've all had our criticisms about Van Pelt. We've all had our criticisms about the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to look at Mayo and go, you're the head coach of an operation that's now lost 5 in a row. You look like you get worse every single week. You are error repeaters, in his words, where you continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And it looks like it's trending the wrong way. Like you do have to look at him, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And he should get blamed for all of it. He's the head coach. But especially on the defensive side of the ball, where we more closely align him with play calling and game planning and everything else, and say, what's going on there? And do they have the right guy? Is he the right guy for this fit? Is Van Pelt the right guy for Drake May? Are these players the right guys? The only thing you're not questioning right now is Drake May. And even still, what I like so much about the touchdown pass and the drive right before halftime, the game was in doubt. I would acknowledge, feeling good about Drake May today, a lot of what he did was they're down 2 scores, they're down 3 scores, they're way out of the game, and you have to wonder if Houston's fully locked in defensively. You just have to wonder if there's as much room for him to make plays and it's as easy for him to make plays. That's one criticism.
Oh, it's something to watch.
That I would say coming out where it's just like how much of what Drake May did was kind of garbage time with the game already decided.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's, you know, second quarter. I would, you know, how...
No, that counts.
Gotcha. I was going to say, that's not exactly...
That drive counts, but the touchdown passes after that, like how much of that were really about...
I mean, you still have Will Anderson chasing you down and Daniil Hunter chasing you down. Like, I feel like those count. I mean, it's not game on the line. I'm sure those guys are thinking, hey, we can give up a first down, let's not give up a touchdown type of thing. But, yeah, I mean, that's another test that he's going to have to, you know, check off the list at some point. You know, close game, maybe this Sunday against another bad team. Maybe it'll be close late, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so that should be a more competitive game, a game that's a little easier to evaluate for Drake May, although the Jaguars are terrible. You guys can talk about it all day long here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Monday, 617-779-7937. I will say I'd like to hear from the, you're going to break him. You can't put him out there. He's just a little boy. You can't throw him out there in a real NFL game. You're going to get him hurt. You're going to get him killed.
Honestly, there's still more of that yesterday than I thought.
No, me too.
It was crazy.
Look.
What a weird thing.
I want to hear from those people. The people who said you can't play him. He's not ready.
In moderation.
You can't have him out there. 617-779-7937. We'll get to that. We'll also dive deeper into the good, the bad, and the ugly from Drake May, because as much as we were encouraged by it, it wasn't all good, so we have thoughts on that. We'll be joined by Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry as well at some point today, so stay tuned for all of it. First, we have all the latest in trending.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Billy Lanny.
That's a weird answer yesterday from Gerard Mayo.
I let everybody down. I let you down out there.
Let myself down. Let the family down.
Whole city of Foxborough.
Let you down. My pappy's pappy. I let everybody down and my whole lineage.
Man.
All right, he's down on himself.
It's all right. You got 13 more of these.
Yeah.
Nope, that's way too many. You got 11 more of these.
11 more of these. No, that's right.
So, I don't think you're going to make the playoffs.
I felt very strange about that answer. And he was pressed about that later on by Karen Garigian, and he kind of tried to explain his way out of it. But that's a weird answer where it's like, I know he's being asked about the quarterback, but are you putting the quarterback on like a separate pedestal from the rest of the team? And now it's like, hey, we let him down out there. He's doing everything right. Like, you got to be real careful of that, I feel like, as a head coach, where you're not, like, we in the media and fans and everybody, we're probably way overreacting to, like, if I were his teammate today, I might be like, oh, he did everything great and we all sucked. We lost by 20.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of turnovers.
Yeah.
And we
hold on to the ball, Rook.
Yeah, we had short fields all day. Like, I would understand some angst within the team if Mayo talks about it that way too much. Like,
we
hey,
let him down.
We let him down.
The biggest lie in sports is that everybody's treated the same.
No,
and
true.
Even Belichick, they preach that. It's like, please, like, not everybody can be treated the same. But I think with it's such a highly anticipated debut. He's really the one guy making his debut. Talked about it all week. He's the starter. And again, he was good and bad and everything in between. But the defense really, really let him down, I think. And I think Mayo's probably talking about that. I mean, sure, you could get into some of the offensive issues that they had. They're just whoever, like, last man standing for the offensive line. But defensively, you're not thinking, hey, like, we're going to need you to score 42 to win today.
Right.
Like, we need you to, you know, like, before if you said you're going to score 21, now maybe not against the Texans, but against some of the other teams, you score 21 points, we're in a pretty good spot.
Keith, you said 20 on, like, Tuesday or Wednesday.
I did.
Wednesday, I guess.
That's right.
And I was like, I don't think so, man. I was like, let's dial that back to 17. So you got more than you expected. I also wonder, and number one, I'd just be concerned about that, or I am concerned about that. I'd watch that with Gerard Mayo. Like, don't put this kid on too much of a pedestal too quickly. Like, he wasn't he was far from perfect. It was said a million times. Your team lost by 20. I also wonder if that was a little bit to Robert and Jonathan. Like, hey, I know this is the big new shiny object. This is your franchise. Mm-hmm. You guys probably pushed for this move, if we're being honest.
Yeah,
he would
I think
know.
He wanted it too.
No, me too.
Okay.
But I just think, you know, hey, I kind of let him down out there today, and we're going to be better because I know how important he is to this franchise. I know how important this looming London game is to this franchise and our ownership. And I thought that was a strange answer. Mm. And I wonder what he was trying to accomplish there. Maybe some of that was to his bosses, Robert and Jonathan.
But I also think he kind of sums up what probably a lot of people are saying, even nationally. Like, when you look in on the Patriots and you say, hey, you might have one really good piece here. what about the rest of it? Right? And it kind of stands out even more. Like, Brissett kind of blends in with the team. Like, Brissett's out there. You're like, yeah, this is sort of what the Patriots are.
This is who we are. Yeah, yeah.
And now you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, look at this guy. This guy might be something.
Yep.
It's like, imagine if he had stuff around him, like how good he could be. And so now maybe it makes some of those other weaknesses kind of stand out even more than normal.
So you can jump in on this all day long, Patriots Monday, here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We're going to talk to Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry today. We'll have what happened throughout week six.
A lot happened.
Of the NFL. So
a lot
much
of ugly football.
That is less than an hour from now. So we'll do that coming up at 11:20, as we do every Monday here on Jones and Keefe. I also do want to hear from the Don't Break Drake crowd, the Ken Lairds of the world.
They
don't
were
break
out
him.
There yesterday. Yeah, well, so I tweeted like a smarmy little tweet that I do because it's
too.
Twitter. That's what the point of it is.
Yeah.
And I said something, I think it was third quarter after his third touchdown pass. Or second, I was like, he has more touchdown passes in three quarters than Brissett had in five games.
I saw this.
And then, like, half the responses were, yeah, no, do interceptions.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Like, do you not want points? Right. Like, what? You need points. Like, Brissett, oh, he didn't throw picks. How'd they do?
Yeah.
They won a game.
Yeah.
They barely won a game. And it was just boring, hard-to-watch football where they punt all the time. And they're like, yeah, but he didn't turn it over. But what good does that do?
Yeah, seriously.
If you don't score any points, like, yes, ideally, Drake May doesn't throw picks either. Like, let's get there. This is kid's first start. He throws a couple of picks, but he threw three touchdowns. But we can't even celebrate the three touchdowns.
No.
Like, yeah, but he turned it over. Dang, mistake football. It's like, good Christ, he threw the ball down the field to wide receivers who were allowed to make plays and score touchdowns. And people are like, yeah, do the picks.
Yeah.
Not doing the picks.
Yeah, do the picks.
Yeah,
do
he had more
now.
Picks than Brissett. Great. He also had a pulse.
Yeah.
He also looked like he was alive out there.
We said this all last week. We've been saying this for 5 weeks. He's going to make mistakes. He's also going to make plays.
Yes.
And right
he
now.
He giveth and he taketh away.
Yeah, but I feel pretty good about the plays that were made yesterday. And you hope to clean up the mistakes. I mean, that's the plan. Jacoby Brissett was never going to make plays. So he would mix in some mistakes without any playmaking.
I was honestly shocked and appalled.
At the responses.
How many people, even after the first few touchdowns, were like, not the right call. Like I don't know if they're Brissett fans or if they're – I don't really get it. I don't know whose side you're on.
Keith, I had a tweet at halftime, and this is classic me. You know, he throws his touchdown. I go, wah, you can't play him. You're going to break him. Wah.
Right.
And then he comes out like the first series of the next half, and he almost gets murdered out there. And I'm like, and so like
scraped up off the turf.
And I'm just like, you know, it's just spam messages like, you broke him, Jones. Yeah. You did this. Classic Jones. Like, you know, that's my whole timeline. I was like, praying to God the guy was back out there, and he was. And he was fine.
He was. He's great.
But it's like.
Fine.
I'm still getting responses to it. I got it. I at least got it in real time. It's like, oh, yeah, see, this is what we were talking about, Jones.
Yeah.
I got it in real time.
He's getting hit.
I'm still getting them this morning responding to that tweet being like,
it's bizarre.
Look, he almost got killed out there, Jones. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, but he didn't. And he was out there and he was fine.
He's a football player. He's a grown ass man.
And he showed some toughness.
Yeah.
He showed, like, that's something we haven't talked about yet.
Tough.
And Mayo highlighted, I know Bourne talked about this.
Yeah.
He showed some toughness out there where it's like, oh, yeah, look, he got up. He wasn't crying on his way off the field. He went back out and made plays after that, which is maybe the best part of his day.
Did you see the Lewis Riddick tweet?
Yes.
So Lewis Riddick, whether you like him or not, I think he does a pretty good job breaking down football on ESPN. He had a tweet yesterday who said, starting Drake May against the Texans didn't permanently ruin the young man and result in the instantaneous demise of the Patriots organization. I was worried.
Didn't he have like an eye roll emoji in there?
He frowned like a little frown eye roll emoji. Yeah. He goes, not. So he's bringing the not jokes
not.
Back. Like Borat. He goes, kid is a stud, just needs help around him. A lot of it, too.
Yeah. No, that's
which
true.
I think is a pretty good way of looking at it. But like, there are some highlights there, but you can't gloss over the fact that this team is so far away and they need so many other things. But I feel like having the quarterback is a pretty good place to
one
be.
One would think. So, you know, all the pants crapping going on out there about getting him broken. He got hit real hard yesterday.
Got hit.
He got back up and made more plays.
That's why he's got pads on.
He showed some toughness.
He got to play with a helmet.
They give him a helmet. They give him pads. They give him the whole thing.
Love it.
Let's start it off today with Paul in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Paul?
Well, my humor and hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm listening to you laugh, and you have every take, and that was the different takes and different view, half empty or half full. But I think this is the funniest, simplest take based upon what I'm hearing you guys say.
Okay.
You got to remember, that team has the number one best against pass defense in the league, 52%. And the next best team is 57. So he went against the team with the best pass defense. And other than the pick, the one overthrow, and then the one deflected, in the second half and the three touchdowns, it says something. Seeing a guy throw long down the field, that was nice to see. That capability is there. Our young team, they're so spazzy, you get the penalties. Then they get mad and they just get so aggressive. They had the two goal line stands we saw in the first quarter.
Yeah, it went away real quick after that. So, but I agree with something Paul said there.
Good defense.
Well, the idea that was a bad spot to start him. You can't start him against Houston's defense. Well, now that you've seen it,
yeah,
shouldn't you feel extra encouraged about his performance because of the defense he did it against?
100%. You see what Caleb Williams did against the Texans, and then do you see what Caleb Williams did yesterday and what Williams did last week? So there's room to grow. You're a rookie quarterback. All these guys, like Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams have gotten better. Bo Nix had a step back yesterday, but he had a couple of good weeks after a slower start. So I obviously wanted Drake May to start week one. When that was out the window, I wanted him to start the Miami game. Didn't happen. He started against the Texans. But I always maintain that there was still some positive to get out of that because you're going up against the best defense the team has even faced. You're also doing it without Ramondre Stevenson.
Right.
So even less of a performance, I probably would have been excited about.
And the worst offensive line imaginable.
Just an insane offensive line. Like, who are these guys offensive
I'm
line?
I'm not like Captain O-line over here. But
no,
like,
but
I
was,
like,
enough is enough.
I've lost track of who they are. I've lost track.
It's really crazy, and yet you still are able to score 21 points, throw three touchdowns against a team that does have a great pass rush, a good defense. They've made every quarterback, really, except for Sam Darnold, who Minnesota dialed up a great game against them. But all these other guys have played horribly against the Texans.
Let's go to Jonathan and Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. Three quick points. First of all, the team would be 3-3 if May started from week one. Look at what the Bengals ended up being. Drake May wins that game. Second, about the defense being terrible, they absolutely are. If anyone brings up the name Steve Belichick, his Washington Huskies defense just gave up 40 points to the Iowa Hawkeyes, who I thought it was against the law for them to score more than 12. And on a serious note, obviously problems number one, two, and three with this offense and the offensive line. We all know, thank you, Curran. But nevertheless, you can't really trade for offensive line talent in the season. So would you consider trying to make a play to get T. Higgins out of Cincinnati, not necessarily to save this season, but to try and build going forward?
Yeah, of course. Yes, I would make a move for a weapon in the passing game. Yes.
Steve Belichick gave up 40 to Iowa.
Yeah,
holy mackerel.
I didn't make the connection to Steve Belichick, but I did saw Iowa smacked him this weekend.
They threw for touchdown passes.
Good Lord.
That I didn't see.
They're 4-3 now, huh?
Do you think anybody's calling for Steve Belichick to come back? I'm
Nobody
sure
is. I don't believe anybody is.
I'm not even calling for Bill, never mind his kids. Or, you know, Steve. No. I guess Brian's already on staff. So,
man.
I would still go out and get a weapon. I was advocating for Davante Adams the other day.
I would take in Ridley. I would take in Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
I would take Davante Adams. I would take T. Higgins. I would take any of these guys.
My answer is yes, but like, how realistic is it?
I think that's more in the offseason.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. You know, maybe the price isn't as crazy. Then you'll know what draft picks you have and all that kind of stuff. So I'd wait till then. But yeah, they need to do something. But then again, not that these guys are going to be all pros, but maybe Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty are a lot better than we thought because you have somebody actually throwing the ball downfield.
So we'll get to the defense, which Jonathan brought up with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I want to get to the wide receiver core.
Oh, do you think they're 3-3, by the way?
Oh, yes.
Would you agree with that?
Well,
that's what he said.
Yes, yes.
I think they beat Seattle. I think they beat Miami for sure.
Give them at least another. Right. Give them the Miami game. By week
minimum
five, maybe winning another. Minimum 2-4.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right, I agree.
Yes. 3-3 might be too much.
Because I also think what you have to factor in, too, is Drake May getting better. Like his first game, even if he struggled, maybe Cincinnati, maybe you don't win that game. Although the running game was really the most important part, so maybe you do win that game. But then he gets a little bit better. So maybe week two, even against Seattle, he's better. Week three, week four, the Jets aren't that great of a team. Miami, well, that game was there for the taking, even with Brissett. I don't think you win yesterday, but I think the game's closer because I think May is now game six, so he looks better. But yeah, 3-3, I don't think is outrageous. 2-4, I would definitely sign off on.
I would definitely give him an extra win. I could be talked into 3-3,
yep.
And I would go get a weapon. And so we'll get to the defense coming up with all your phone calls. Keith, you had the idea of power ranking the wide receivers on this team.
I think there's movement.
Let's look at the wide receiver depth chart with all your Drake May thoughts next. That's Drake May following his first NFL start, saying the right things.
Yeah.
I want to win. I don't really care how I did individually.
No, that is. It's a little thing, but I like it. Like, he's talking about, like, hey, everybody's there to celebrate his first career start, but they're like, you lost.
Yeah.
It's like, eh,
No, yeah, yeah, it, I mean,
so you can't just be like throw yourself a parade. You can't shoot off confetti guns just because right. you got into a game. Yeah, like, you got to.
If they would have won that game, you better believe there were confetti guns today.
It wouldn't be just confetti. But that was. No, I like that. That's sort of him being like, listen, yeah. like I'm here to win. I'm not here to just, you know, get a couple of touchdown passes.
It's the right answer when you lose by 20, and they lost by 20, and they got throttled yesterday. So I do feel good individually about Drake May, and. No one's saying he's definitely the guy, but you saw it yesterday. You saw what it could look like when everything clicks, and that was in his first start against arguably the best defense they're going to face all year, a Super Bowl contender on the other side. And he acquitted himself quite nicely. It's the best I've felt about the quarterback position in 5 years. And in today's NFL, that's what matters more than anything. And so we've gone through the good and the bad and the ugly. Like, I love the two-minute drive right before halftime, capped by the throw to Booty. I love the toughness he showed getting up from the strip sack. You know, those were, to me, some of the best moments where you're like, oh, God, is his career over or season over? And he's back out there. He doesn't miss a snap, and he's fine, and he's making plays right. on top of it. I love that. You know, some of the bad stuff, the turnovers, of course. You know, the pick was brutal. The second pick, I didn't love the decision-making. You got to sense the pressure on the fumbled snap. So the turnovers, he's got to clean up.
Also, the fumble that he had, and I usually don't have a lot of energy for the refs parked them. Like, in any sport. Like, it, yes, sometimes they do. And
oh,
sometimes
and they missed the face mask?
Like, holy crap, the guy had the ball. Like, how do you miss that one?
Yeah, that was a bad
one. There's all these idiots on the field with whistles and flags, and this guy has the football. Like, who else are you looking at?
It's a good point.
He almost ripped his head clean off.
It's a good point.
It wasn't like it touched the face mask and he missed it, and you're like, all right, whatever, maybe he had a bad angle. He ripped it all the way around, and then the next play, fumble. Like, that's brutal. That should have been – that was first play of the second half.
Yep.
You were trying to get the elusive double score, and if you had 15 yards from there – because you weren't going to run for 15 yards.
God, no.
I think Gibson might have had 15 yards on 15 carries. So if they just
– Gibson had 19 yards on 13 carries.
Close.
You shortchanged him.
Close.
Yeah.
So he would have basically picked up as many rushing yards in the game if they called that correctly. Now – I think they probably still lose. Who knows if they go down and score. Maybe May fumbles on the very next play. But what a shot in the arm that gives you. You already went down the field and scored end of the first half. Now you get the ball down 7. Even though it feels like the chances of you winning are slim, you're only down 7 with the ball.
Yep.
And Gibson almost gets his head ripped off, and they're like, yeah, that was a clean tackle.
Yep.
Next. That was awful.
Let me give you one official gripe if you want one.
Yes.
I didn't think it was pass interference in the end zone on Mapu on the opening drive.
I agree. I don't think it was either.
So if you want to go like
they parked him!
Full blown Drake May, support Homer takes.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
No,
call.
The refs were really bad. Robot refs.
Now look, if I'm being honest, it had a lot to do with my fantasy matchup going against CJ Stroud.
That's fine. Screwed him.
I didn't think that was a pass interference call.
I agree.
Some of the ugly, of course, is May did almost get killed out there at one point.
I did like how Mapu was like high fiving, like he was like, and I think he had to have seen the flag in the corner of his eye. He's like, well, maybe if I just celebrate, it'll go away.
I'll pick it up.
No, it's that's on you.
So the good, the bad, and the ugly from Drake May. You want to cry about the refs? Me and Keith are willing to go there today.
Yep.
617-779-7937. You had, Keith, the idea of power ranking these wide receivers, which I like.
I'll tell you, because we've gotten on these guys.
Yeah, we have. And
there's a lot of false sense of being good.
Yeah, there's that. But they looked useful, really, for the first time all year.
Right.
And so Douglas has 6 catches, 92 yards, his first touchdown in his career.
Awesome.
Yesterday.
Seriously. No, all seriousness, awesome. Like, we've been joking about pop on the tape Douglas. I thought he was excellent. I thought this was his best game. By far. I don't know what the numbers would say. I know he hasn't been in the end zone, but...
it was a career... 92 yards is a career high.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
And he was snatching the ball out of the sky. Drake May didn't put it on him every time. There was one that I think May even said afterwards, like, if I got him in stride on that first one, maybe he scores on that one. And Pop Douglas got open, had to adjust to the ball, and then picked up as many yards as he could, and he got tackled. There's another one that I thought May overthrew him, because Pop Douglas is not the tallest guy in the world. And he jumped up out of the air and snatched it. Far and away his best game. He looked really, really good. I was a fan after yesterday of Pop Douglas.
So 92 yards, career high, his first touchdown on 9 targets. Kayshon Booty, 59 yards, also a career high.
I love that.
He had the 40-yard touchdown.
Yes.
And he was out there a ton. Let's skip over Hunter Henry because we're talking wide receivers. Then you get down to Kendrick Bourne, still working his way back in.
Yep.
2 catches, 9 yards on 2 targets. Jalen Polk, the 1 catch on 4 targets, 2 killer drops.
Look,
you were very high on him going into this week. Mayo was very critical of him today. It sounds to me, reading between the lines with Mayo, Polk's not going to get a lot of snaps next week against Jacksonville. It's going
to
be...
He says he needs to get over a mental hump.
Yeah, it's going to be Douglas, Booty, and Bourne. That's going to be their receiver rotation,
and
which might be right.
That's what it should be right now. Polk has...
I still think, based on where he was drafted, and, you know, he was a great college receiver last year at Washington, he has still the most upside. But as it stands right now, I know they were teetering on a mutiny. I'm teetering on being out on Jalen Polk. Like, it is... It's been bad.
Wait, you're worried about the draft pick already.
Yes, he doesn't know the rules. He can't keep his feet in bounds. And now he can't catch?
Yeah.
What? Like, what? What more is there? You got to catch. You got to stay on the field to play. And you need to catch the ball. And now you have a quarterback, so now there are less excuses. And if Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty can both flash in game one with Drake May, and Jalen Polk is crickets. You gotta check the box score to see that he was even out there. I'm not writing him off yet. Not yet. But I got maybe two eyeballs, maybe a hairy eyeball on him, if nothing else. Also, Tyquan Thornton, Saturday, he must have found out that he was going to be a healthy scratch. So a second-round pick, healthy scratch, Tyquan Thornton, who some suggested was flashing during camp this year.
Yeah, some.
Has not flashed during the regular season.
No.
He posted on his Instagram story, and this is lame that we even have to do this, but it's what it is. It's a meme of Michael Jordan. The GOAT. Yep.
Yeah.
And all it says is take things personally.
Yeah, he's like D'ing somebody up, right? He's
might have been Magic. It looks like a Bulls Lakers.
Is that who he was D'ing up?
Might have been Magic.
Yeah.
Maybe Byron Scott. I don't know who he's going up against. But take things personally.
Yeah.
So look out, folks, and Terps are doing a good job on Twitch. So this is the meme. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube.
There you go.
That's what he posted on his. Look at the eyes on Jordan. What a player he was.
He's locked in.
GOAT, your GOAT?
Locked in.
He's my GOAT.
He is my GOAT.
He's my GOAT.
Yeah.
So take things personally. So I don't know, league. You got No. You got yourself a motivated Tyquan Thornton on your hands. Look out, world. this team.
The point is though,
they're overly confident.
It's a receiver room with a lot of confidence that hasn't exactly done much to warrant that confidence.
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
Instagram helped get him fired.
Yep.
He had the carport with the Bugatti.
Yep.
He was on the practice squad.
Tyquan Thornton's right on his way.
He's right there. So he's a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
And right now, if you're doing the rank, I mean, it's definitely Pop, Booty are the clear-cut top two receivers. Kendrick Bourne, I think we want to see, and he's going to join the show too, but I think get off of injury, can he be that third guy? And then Polk's going to get an opportunity more. And I would rather see Baker. I know he was also a scratch. I'd rather see Baker than Tyquan Thornton. So where does he even factor in? I know he's motivated on Instagram, but like, all right.
No, right now, I'm a little hesitant to bury Polk for the rest of the year, but if you want to really try to beat Jacksonville this week, he probably shouldn't be on the field.
Big Jags game.
And it's a winnable game. I'm shocked Jacksonville's favored by 5.5. I think that's all about travel.
Well, it's a home game for them.
They're already there in London, and it is kind of a home game. You saw how well they played against Chicago yesterday.
Or is that the game to get them over the mental hump because the Jags defense is just so bad?
Maybe. I get like a one-week reprimand of Polk. Like, you can't hold on to the ball. You can't stay in bounds. You're going to sit.
But I'm not going to put Tyquan Thornton as active over Polk.
No, but I'm going to keep playing Bourne over him.
Yes.
And I'm going to play Booty and Pop over him. And he's going to be the fourth wide receiver mixing in.
Who people in the Twitch chat are right. There's got to be some sort of Pop Booty nickname for these guys.
That's a good point.
Pop Booty.
But
the Booty Pop.
Right now, I'm surprised how much I liked. I thought Pop Douglas for Drake May's first start made a lot of sense. But I'm surprised how much Kayshon Booty was out there the last couple of weeks and how much he's shown up. And so keep playing
him. He's solid.
Keep playing him over Pop Douglas. That should be how you slot them, at least in the immediate future going forward. Polk needs to earn his way back to reps, and he needs to start by catching the football, because you're right, Keith. It's an irrational wide receiver room. Pop Douglas is demanding targets.
I know. Polk's like, don't write us
Polk
off.
Polk said, don't even bother getting on the bandwagon if you're not on it. You know, as you said, Tyquan Thornton. Take things personally.
I love the confidence, but come on.
Jalen Reagor off the team because he's a Bugatti in a carport.
Yeah.
And so it's irrational. But those are the guys I'd want out there on the field right now and what is a winnable game this weekend.
The Twitch chat, Baker, remember when he got drafted? I make people in wheelchairs stand up.
Yeah, there's not 10 receivers better than me. Like, it's wild what's going on in that room. It's a good point.
They're a very confident group.
617-779-7937. Who is the best weapon for Drake May? And what'd you think of those guys in the passing game specifically? DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty on the good side, and Jalen Polk on the not-so-good side. More your thoughts on that, plus what's wrong with the Patriots' defense, and who should we blame for it? That's next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.